Breaker Hop, we used to work with at Layton, were there. So there was a good showing. There was probably 10 to 12 Utah attendees at the NDAA conference on sex assault. And it was really good. They just got some really good presenters. When I go to it, I always, you know, it's always good to get outside of the state and, you know, hear about perhaps new approaches, new things, make new contacts. But it also reaffirms, and I'm not the one that created UPC, and I'm not the backbone of it. You know, Bob and Marilyn are, but UPC does such a good job with our trainings. They really do. You know, when you go to the national ones, there's always good to be gained. It's always worth it. But it makes me appreciate and proud of the work that, UPC does, because I think we provide a good support and training service to our prosecutors in our state. So it was good.
All right. Tyson. My report's in there. You can see stats and different things that I've been doing on that. It's been interesting because when I first started in this job, it was like starting cold, even though there had been a TSRP. It's just my job's pretty open-ended, right? There's not like a specific, this is your job description, this is what you go do. I had to create everything, do things, and I had to kind of start and build and make contacts from the beginning. And it almost feels like I had to start over with that after the pandemic. And it kind of shut down all those contacts. So I've been cold calling police departments all around the state, basically saying, do you want me to come do training? Do you want me to come do this? I'm having about a 25% success rate on that at this point, but that's better than zero success rate. And so I've been able to get out and do some training with police departments and things lately, which is good. Again, Marlise reported on what we got going on for legislative updates, which ends up taking up a lot of our time over the next little bit. But it's fun, it'll be good, and we'll be able to reestablish some of those contacts with police departments on that too. So, any questions for me? What needs do you have? That's always the question I ask, and I don't ever get an answer, but I'm still gonna keep asking it. Like, you're the ones that are on the ground, right? You're the ones that are in your offices or in court and handling things. When you see issues, let me know. That could become our next training, right? That could become the next training I put together and go do. So if you're seeing issues, please let me know, and I'm happy to address them. So.
And I think that's a great point, because obviously we make contact with the police departments, and they're responsible for their own trainings. But hopefully most, if not all, prosecutors' offices have that communication with their law enforcement agencies. And can say, hey, I know a guy, you know, or I know a lady, or let's bring someone in. They've got a budget. We'll bring them in. And so don't hesitate, you know, to reach out to us and say, hey, our county's really struggling with XYZ. Here's your contact person, you know, and we'll come. That's what we do. We will go, and we'll do it on our own dime. I was just out in Kanab doing a day training, and they're doing a similar one in Sevier County, which I wasn't able to go to because I have other stuff going on, but it's, you know, Rob was there, and it's great to get out and to be needed and to provide that support for your areas. Because then ultimately, by the time the case hits your desk, you're much happier about it, right? If they're catching the things and aware of things that they need to be.
I mean, Tyson, I don't know how big of a deal this is going to be, but with the change in the statute, making the second DUI a Class A, I can see police departments not catching that,
yeah,
and we have a lot of cases being filed in justice courts that need to go to the district court.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we get the word out beyond what we're already doing. I know you would do a ton already. I don't know how we.
Well, we're going to hit every single county in the state in the month of May,
yeah.
And so we won't get it by May 4th, but by Memorial Day, every county will have had an opportunity to hear that, and that will be part of what we talk about. So,
it's May. What's the effective date?
May 4th.
May the 4th be with you.
There you go.
So,
do you think that was intentional?
Daniel Thatcher, I think you knew what it was. No, but you're right, Jeff. Just little things like that become a big deal, right? Because then you have to dismiss it in justice court, send it over to the county.
Research summons.
Yeah, delays everything in the process. And ultimately, you're not supposed to be issuing citations,
right,
on Class A misdemeanors, right? We still see that happen every once in a while, but
they do the district court. They get rejected. They should be getting rejected from the justice court. If they try to file that in justice, well, they should.
Yeah. And so, that will definitely be part of what we talk about as we go around. And so by we're done by that last week in May. We don't go past Memorial Day anymore. That's our new goal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Tyson may not have any hair by the end of May, but...
Move on to the e-prosecutor report.
Yeah, so I think we've covered everything in that, so.
We did too.
Do the.
The annual awards.
Yeah. So as we talked last time, you approved, you know, I'm going to announce that we're going to begin these new prosecutor awards. And as you saw, you know, we've got the felony prosecutor and the misdemeanor prosecutor of the year. As I look back over the minutes from the last time, that was the guidance that we got from the council is, you know, let's just start there and see where we go. I mean, you know, because we could all, you know, include a government attorney, civil government of the year, if y'all wanted to do that, or let the civil folks worry about something like that. You know, juvenile prosecutor. But those are just
lobbying
things to think
prosecutor.
About. The lobbying prosecutor? Yeah. And so.
We just educate.
Yeah.
Legislative advocate.
And so I'll announce it. You know, I've intentionally kept it, you know, really broad on what the qualifications were and the things that we'll look at, because I didn't want to, you know, pigeonhole it too much. But as you can see, as we'll create, I'll work with Ron, and we'll get an online nomination form. I anticipate that, like, you know, maybe January 1st is when we would open this. Anybody can nominate. You know, 500 words or less, or you know, just explaining what the qualifications are, and then at our is we'll have to come up with an awards review committee, and I don't know if the council wants to do that as a whole, or if we want to just come up with like a subcommittee that's got city and felony, you know, council members on it to review those awards. That's kind of what I'm thinking. Any thoughts or feedback? And
just one thought.
Yeah.
On the prosecutor front,
mm-hmm.
I wonder if rather than say the felony prosecutor year, misdemeanor prosecutor, juvenile prosecutor of
yeah.
the year,
yeah.
you have a prosecutor of the year and you set guidelines for that award saying uh-huh. there are a variety of ways to be the prosecutor of the year, including felony or municipal
okay.
prosecution or juvenile, so that you get the prosecutor of the year and you guide the awards committee to
right.
say it's not just the felony prosecutor every year.
Right.
There's, and then it's just one award and it recognizes the various facets of prosecution.
You could even rotate it, right? One year we're going to give it to a felony, one year we're going
to
give it to
without
a
dictating
without
to the committee, just
yeah.
saying like
yeah.
you would consider these different
yeah.
areas.
Okay. Ed, you look like you had a thought. I mean, or were you just nodding in agreement?
I was just kind of nodding in agreement. I think having, you know, a misdemeanor, a felony, a juvenile, a sex crimes, a homicide, a this,
mm-hmm.
a that,
mm-hmm.
I think after a while it's going to be kind of, okay, who do we pick this year?
Right.
As opposed to if we have one, you know, then we're dealing with somebody, I mean, who really is
right.
extraordinary.
Right.
I don't
okay.
know.
With,
again,
with guidance like, to say, don't just keep picking the murderer prosecutor.
Yes.
Of the,
yeah.
Yes.
Right,
yeah.
right. And that's why I was thinking, you know, it's whatever committee is the awards committee, you know, this group, is it is represented by felony. It is represented by, you know, city prosecutor, misdemeanor prosecutor, so that we've got an equal voice. You know, and as you notice, you know, it has nothing to do with convictions. You know, it's not because you've got X number of convictions a year. It's what's the work that you're doing? What are you doing on behalf of victims? What are you doing, you know, in the community, whatever? And so, I mean, I'm okay with that. I think I see some wisdom in that, is just limiting it to the prosecutor of the year. Yeah, Jeff?
I agree with Will, and I don't mean to counter. I just have a little different perspective. If you look at, like, the business community, they're awesome at slapping each other on the back. Everybody's
yeah.
the greatest in the world.
Yeah.
Everybody's wonderful. And they give awards out for having the nicest tie.
Yeah.
We nice. Kind of stink at that.
Right.
And I think even when I was a county attorney, I really struggled how to recognize the incredible work people were doing day to day. It's challenging.
Mm-hmm.
So I would always say that if we can give out more awards that are meaningful,
mm-hmm.
so we don't want to just throw out awards, but I think there's so many prosecutors in our state that are recognized for really incredible work.
Yeah.
That if we could give out more, I would err on that side.
Well, and you could do prosecutor of the year saying that there are three people who get prosecutor of the year, one municipal,
mm-hmm.
one juvenile, and one felony.
or just three extraordinary
but,
people.
Yeah, so like you win the prosecutor, that's the name of the award.
Yeah.
But
before you could even make
so
it
spread
yeah.
it out.
Yeah. And you could do one in the spring, one in fall, you could do you could do multiple. I don't know, but I just think that we're not good at recognizing the great work that we do. And we don't pay people.
And that's why I wanted to brought this up and wanted to start this is so that we can do that. And I was just mirroring it, patenting it on other states, But some of the states, now that I think about it, have in the thousands of prosecutors. Some states have, Legislator of the Year Award. They break them down into the special category, special prosecutions, but, our community maybe isn't as big to do that, but, I wanted to do something where we are recognizing our prosecutors more.
I think the risk of this mm-hmm. is you have other prosecutors. Like we have a whole screening division.
Right, right.
They're not going to be a felony or a juvenile or a misdemeanor.
Oh, okay.
And you have prosecutors who are in non-traditional roles, like Steve Garside, for example, where he's doing HR and some prosecution.
So we just need an extra category for a catch-all, right?
I mean, you could do a catch-all, or you could just, by being generic, you don't have to mm-hmm. worry about this. Mm-hmm.
I tend to err towards Jeff's idea of more is better in this case, because and if it's making them more generic, that's fine. I just think giving more out is probably better in our situation right now. Maybe in a couple of years we're getting out too many, and it's like soccer awards for 8-year-olds.
Which they love, though.
They do. I love them.
I think we're hiring 8-year-olds now.
They wear their medals.
Just because we're getting older.
It feels like that. Dude, what did the rest of you think? Steven, it sounded like you were saying something.
No, I like the idea of giving some awards. I do think it's hard. Like Will was talking about, his screeners.
Uh-huh.
We don't have a separate section. I mean, obviously, we all do our own screening.
Yeah.
But juvenile prosecutor, for one example, none of that's ever known by the public what they do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think to recognize some of those people like that is an important thing. I was just able to convince my commissioners to give me some money so I could recognize people that do extraordinary things in my office. Mm-hmm. I think it's an important thing to do.
All right, in your individual offices, do you guys do awards? I know the Attorney General's office does, awards every year, but...
Before the pandemic, and maybe again now.
Yeah.
Things have been weird for 2 years.
Sure.
Okay. So I recognize myself every day.
As well you should.
Is that you yet?
I remember which fast food chain it was. Remember it was, I got out of bed today. I deserve, and I can't remember what it was, French fries or hamburger or something. I mean, I don't want to get to that. But. So what do you want me to announce then on Friday? That we're going to have a prosecutor of the year, that it's any prosecutor in the state, but then it goes back to like your screening people. Or do we call it, and I want to call it government attorney of the year because, I don't know.
Then you're stepping in swaps to jurisdiction.
Yeah,
there.
Exactly.
The other thing, Bob and I kind of do the military, or Bob did, they're really good at giving out little recognitions for many, many things.
Mm-hmm.
Or even a big recognition, but you get a little ribbon,
mm-hmm.
and you feel good about that. But maybe different models to give out different types of awards. I mean, like, I'm just thinking out loud that rather than Attorney of the Year, you could do Trial Attorney of the Year, you could do Screening Attorney of the Year. I don't know, that's probably not a good one.
Dismissing Attorney of the Year.
Friday's purposes, Bob, you can be pretty generic, right?
Yeah.
I don't think you have to give all the details and specificity.
No.
Announcement on Friday.
I was just going to say misdemeanor felony.
Well, you could do an award of merit.
Yeah.
You could do a distinguished service. I mean, military's got a million of these terms, but...
Going back to the 8-year-olds, I think you can say, we're taking nominations for Prosecutor of the Year, and we want to hear about juvenile and misdemeanor felony and screening. And then, based on what we receive... Several people can get the gold. It's really—it doesn't have to be just one person.
All type of person.
Yeah.
Well, and if we then change it to Attorney of the Year.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Prosecutor.
Well, no. I mean, I say I still like prosecutor. I mean, that's who we are—the Prosecution Council. So.
We are not the statewide association of prosecutors and public attorneys.
Yeah.
We are the Utah Prosecution
council. You know, and maybe we work with SWAP, and you know, SWAP has an award. You know,
if you want to give it to
SWAP, OOPA has an award.
Yeah.
We can do it together. I'm sure SWAP would be interested.
Yeah. So.
Whatever we do, can we make it meaningful?
Yeah.
Well, no, absolutely.
So like DNR gives out an award for Prosecutor of the Year.
Oh, they do?
And they gave it to me 1 year, and they gave it to my deputy the next year. And both times, in the little ceremony that they did, the person that gave a little speech basically said, "We like these prosecutors because they file our cases."
I was just going to say, Kane County's the only one who goes after the guides, right?
Hey, we've
got no such in cases at all.
No, and
we've got another couple times from Shane County, too.
And to that point, Rob, let me just mention the Steve Garside Award. I don't know that we would award that every year, because again, I don't want it to. That has got
to be meaningful.
Exactly. And so, yeah, whatever criteria we come up for, you know, these awards, it does need to be meaningful.
I think this goes back to what you were saying before. Maybe a subcommittee of this group first to vet it and say maybe there's only three this year,
right?
Or maybe there's four. Maybe we have to come up with the screener of the year this year.
Right.
And then it can come to this group for final.
Well, and I don't know if we have to call it the screen of the year. It's just when we make the presentation, we can say, look, this is what this person has done. Here's what they were nominated for. Here's what we're recognizing them for.
So several years ago, I tried to get the Highway Safety Office on board of doing a DUI Prosecutor of the Year award before this ever came up here. Because in Minnesota, what they do is they'll do one of that. And like seventh inning stretch, they bring that prosecutor out on the field at a Twins game. Ooh. And they award that. You know, they get to come, they go out on the field at a Twins game, sponsored by Budweiser, right?
Last year you got a shot.
And all these things. But, like, can we get them with the Jazz, right? Can we get in at halftime of a Jazz game? Maybe that's something we could even explore, right, and try and do. It's not as maybe connected, but they were on board, and then they were like, I don't know that we want to touch this. And so they kind of fell off, but making it meaningful, right? I think it'd be cool to, you know, there might be three people in the stadium actually paying attention when that goes on, but it's cool for that person who's standing out center court at the Jazz game and getting their picture with their wife and kids or husband or parents or grandkids or whoever, right? So, I don't know.
Okay.
Sorry, I don't mean to keep interjecting, but Attorney of the Year implies, or Prosecutor implies, one.
Mm-hmm.
But if you said distinguished something of the year or meritorious or special, I don't know, is it? It seems like it'd be more applicable the more special person has it, right?
Right.
It doesn't matter to me. I'm just suggesting the other terms that might be less implying of what we said are.
Elite prosecutor.
Elite.
But no, I appreciate that perspective, you know, that we do have lots of people that just don't get recognized, so. Okay. All right, then that is it on the awards. Let's see. I thought about this after I sent this out, so this is not actually on the agenda. As I remember from a couple of years ago, we had, you know, council retreat, but we did it here, and it was, you know, like leadership training. Are you guys interested if we were to try to put something together late in the fall, depending upon what our budget looks like? You know, we could take you off the Wasatch Front, get you away for a day or two, focus on leadership that you can then take back to your offices, or just have a council retreat. Just curious, you know, what y'all think, if that would be interested, if you want us to even look into something like that. I don't know, because you guys do your SWAP.
Maybe I can interject again.
Yeah.
So this year, Representative Tuescher, remember his bill, he ran a bill basically saying the Attorney General really needs to be in charge, and taking a lot of authority and control away from the county attorneys in particular. So we were able to get that bill basically killed, but he's already indicated that he's interested in pursuing something like that. So in our SWAT meeting, Dan Burton and I were brainstorming a couple months ago, thinking about how could we maybe help him scratch that itch, but not necessarily give him what he's looking for. And one of the ideas we talked about was the AG sponsoring some sort of retreat or training event with, we're recorded here, right?
Sure. So
kind of where the AG could help coordinate statewide prosecution. Really, it would be a training, mm-hmm. and it'd be maybe a leadership conference. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to talk about that in SWAP, and I think maybe if SWAP UPC did it together, it would give, and I wish Dan were here, it would provide that umbrella that this legislator's looking at without really impacting or doing what he's really trying to do, which is take control and send it to the state. But having a statewide sponsored retreat might help with that. So
also on the topic of Representative Tischer, he allegedly, what he said when he introduced that bill is that he wanted to have a conversation about this curious part in the statute. What does it really mean about the relationship between the Attorney General and elected county prosecutors? I think we ought to be having lots of conversations with that guy before, what conversation do you want to have? Instead of expanding upon the curious language in the statute, maybe we amend it to make clear, you know, that there is no supervisory duty, or figure out, because I believe that the whole impetus for it grew out of a conversation. David Levitt and he are very close friends. You know, and David can be very, I don't want to say pontificating is not the right word. Like, he can be very academic or kind of intellectually curious or just want to, you know, talk about something. And David told me that, you know, he had just brought it up with Jordan Tischer, and Jordan sort of took it and ran with it without understanding a lot of the collateral consequences. So I think, you know, whether it's SWAP or UPC or UCDAA, there ought to be a contingent of people taking that guy to dinner, talking to him about what really our jobs are like, and really trying to head him off, because that's a big danger to our autonomy, and would end up, what the end result of it would be, because the general has no time to be supervising Rob down in King County or me up in Summit. Is some assistant attorneys general supervising elected county attorneys who are very close to their communities. So I think that deserves our directed attention to get it here, because he doesn't understand what the effect of it would be.
No, he doesn't. And again, that's what the conversation was going to be with SWAP. But as you mentioned that, I thought maybe it ought to be inclusive of UPC as well.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In general, I think we probably all agree that it's not good policy for a statewide elected official to have direct supervision.
But Dan totally agrees. That's not an issue. Dan totally agrees.
Having said that, there is that unusual clause.
Yeah. Well, let's get rid of that instead of expanding.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what you're saying.
That's worrisome to open that can of worms, though, too.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the right answer is, but it's a good thing to talk about.
We've had plenty of experience of bringing up issues to the legislature only to have them resolved in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Marijuana.
From Attorney General Shurtleff's perspective, I asked him this direct question when I got elected. I see this clause, what do you want? And he basically said, send me a report once in a while. So I'd send him an annual report. And then after a couple of years, he's like, that was the supervision I got. But I don't think the AG's interested, but it might be, again, if we could do this retreat where we coordinate, because one of Representative Tuscher's issues is the disparity among how prosecutions conducted and defendants are treated throughout the state. And he is right. A defendant in Kane County with the same crime, same circumstance, make it a different sentence or different treatment at the prosecutors that he would in Salt Lake or Utah County.
Yeah, because I heard those guys charge DNR cases.
Right.
The prosecutors are only half the issue there. You got judges.
Yeah.
You know, you go in front of one judge, you get outcome A. You go in front of another judge, same case, and you get outcome B.
We can't get a prison sentence for breaking a baby's arm, but other jurisdictions can get prison for distribution of small controlled substances.
Right.
So Dan and I idea was to maybe do a retreat where that is the topic, and we call it, you know, coordination or supervision, whatever we want to call it, so we can go back to Representative Tuscher. The AG's actually doing this, and he's doing it with the cooperation of the counties and cities or something like that.
And in that retreat, we could go over the numbers that the CCJJ is legislatively tasked with gathering, so we can see where are our differences. And then if we walk out of that meeting and we all agree, well, yeah, there are some differences, because regionally there are some differences, or, yeah, there are some differences, and so I'm going to try to be more in line with what someone else is doing. Again, we can report back, this is all happening, right? We're addressing, if that's his underlying concern, we're addressing it in a way that nobody's being told what to do.
Frank, we can do that in an hour or two and spend the rest of it doing leadership stuff, doing management, doing whatever we want. I just think it's a chance to address it.
Yeah.
Take a hike.
So thoughts, is that something that you'd like us to pursue a swap and like look later in the fall after things kind of calm down before the session really gears up?
We did ours in, we were doing ours in June before the pandemic.
Yeah.
We can do whenever we want.
Well, I guess I was just thinking June's only a couple months away, and getting calendars cleared. That's what I was thinking, is if we put it out in the fall, we can get everybody's calendar cleared.
September, October.
Yeah. So, okay. All right, then our last issue is our June meeting. And pre-pandemic, if you remember, typically in June, we would go to somebody's jurisdiction. Anybody want to host us in June? Show off your city, your county?
I think the last time we did it was in Summit County, right?
I think it was in Summit County.
We went into the old historic courthouse there.
That was fun.
Yeah, and we can come back there anytime, although I love going to King County. Now let's go to King County.
Do you want to host us?
Sure. It might be hard to find hotel rooms in June.
That's true.
I was going to say.
Oh, yeah.
Cost will be difficult.
That's true.
Yeah. But
we're all staying at your house.
There you go. I got a big backyard. Bring it in.
Bring it in.
Well, Colville had that great facility too that you guys have in there. That's really nice.
Yeah, brand new, good technology.
For our retreat, I was gonna—I thought already back in my mind.
But I would be pleased to host any of this anytime.
I think our last one was there, and it was great. It's been a little while since we've been there.
Yeah. Because of the hotel, and we'd have to pay peak season. Is it okay if we go with Summit County?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So we'll work. We'll connect with you, Margaret. Do you want to pick a date? Everybody look at your calendars in June, because it's not in connection with any kind of conference or anything. So it's just. UPAA is the third week in June, so that won't work. So it could either be the week after the last week in June,
and
or
the visual is the 9th and 10th.
Yeah. Okay. So I'd say that, like the 15, 16, 17. Or 29-30.
I go 29-30. I'm not available either.
Okay. What works best? A Wednesday. I mean, is Wednesday all right for folks?
And we could try to do it together. Do you think?
Probably. Yeah.
I can't do either one of those dates. Can we?
Okay. What about that week?
Which one?
The week of the June 27th.
Then that gets into like July 4th.
Weekend. Yeah. Okay. What about like Monday or Tuesday, the 13th or 14th?
I won't be
here. Of June still?
Uh huh.
Yeah, what you're getting into, I bet, is everybody's.
Yeah, school's.
I'll be in Alaska. I'll be fishing in Alaska.
Going to June.
Yeah.
I think if we're all traveling, attaching it closer to the weekend, either Monday or Friday, is probably going to be better than a Wednesday.
True. I show that you scheduled June 10th this room. Did we set June 10th as a date?
Well,
that's visual trial, of course.
I mean, it's
okay. Oh, that's the visual trial. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
9th and 10th training.
What about the 1st of June, June 3rd, Friday, June 3rd?
No.
I'm on the 1st half of June.
Okay. It's only 6 weeks away, too.
I know. See, that's just it. Is I don't. Yes, I'll have a preliminary budget, but I don't know that there's really anything else to meet.
Is July pointless, or?
No, July would work. Friday, July 15th. Friday, July 15th, okay. And Summit County will be very pleasant.